Chapter 18, Chronist, Part 1. In the days that preceded Ahan's tour and Bo-Katan's challenge, Din's nerves were at an all-time high. He took job after job for the guild just to keep his mind occupied, bringing in bail jumpers and smugglers and thieves, diving into each hunt with the single-minded drive of someone who really didn't want to be left alone with their thoughts. On the rare occasion that Din wasn't working, he spent his mornings sparring with Cal at the temple. He felt like he was getting better with the Darksaber, for what it was worth. He could keep up with the rapid blows of Cal's dual-bladed saber, and had even caught the Jedi off guard a few more times, much to Cal's delight. If he returned from the challenge in one piece, he hoped they could still train together. Din still had the Beskar spear, which he knew for a fact could hold its own against a lightsaber. But Din wasn't convinced that he would make it back in one piece. Despite Bo-Katan's assurances, Din wasn't sure she intended to keep her word about sparing his life. Not with the pressure of the other Mandalorians around to watch, all expecting her to kill him. And in the unlikely event that he won the duel, he'd just have to face someone else. Someone who'd made him no promises about his life at all. All too soon, it was time to leave for Chronist. On the night of his departure, Din left Grogu in the attentive care of the Jedi. He didn't sneak away from the temple, but he didn't draw attention to himself either. This was his mess that he'd gotten himself into, and he'd get himself out of it. Or not. Alone. Or so he thought. When he got to his ship, there was a shadow waiting for him. "Poncho?" Din inquired, when the shadow resolved itself into the shape of Cal. He was wearing a thick, pale blue poncho with a hood, perfect for the perpetual winter of Chronist. "What are you doing?"
"Coming with you, obviously."
Din's heart did a backflip in his chest.
"You shouldn't. I doubt this will end well."
There was a very real possibility that he was going to his death. If they were strictly abiding by the traditions, he certainly would be. Cal didn't need to see that.
"All the more reason I should be there," Cal said, undeterred. "I don't have to abide by Mandalorian rules, so if someone needs to save your ass, I mean Shebs, it's gonna be me."
"I don't know these Mandalorians well. They will likely be hostile if they think the Jedi are interfering with their politics."
"And we all know how good Mandalorians are at spotting Jedi," Cal said it with a smile, his green eyes sparkling. But the sarcasm was not lost on Din. Maybe one day he'd gain the mental fortitude to say no to Cal. Today was not that day. Din sighed heavily and opened up the ship. But before Cal could board, Din stepped forward, took his arm, and pulled him back until he could rest their foreheads together like he had a few weeks ago. He felt Cal's arms come up around his neck, so he took that as permission to rest his own hands on Cal's waist. He radiated warmth like an engine that'd been running for a few hours, solid and full of potential energy. Din saw Cal bite his own lip slightly, his eyes drawn to the movement. He wondered if Cal could read his thoughts well enough to know what Din wanted, how much even this small amount of contact made his head spin. But now was not the time for such thoughts.
"If you really want to come with me, promise me something."
"Anything."
"If something happens to me, you need to leave immediately."
Cal leaned back slightly, about to protest, but Din kept talking.
"Please, you have to be there for Grogu. I trust you with him more than anyone else."
Cal's eyes softened again, and he nodded. "Of course, he'll be well looked after, no matter what." On the ship, Din and BD-1 calculated the hyperspace routes and plugged in the coordinates for the stronghold that Bo-Katan's people were using as base. He spared a moment to consider the fact that he was traveling, for the first time, to his adopted ancestral territory. Not Mandaiyim. Their true homeworld had been lost to them, and despite Bo-Katan's ambitions, it would be safest if it remained that way.
But Cronest was still within Mandalorian space and would be as close to Mandalore as Din would ever get. That was for sure. Din disengaged the landing gear and fired up the thrusters. The wings and body of the starfighter pivoted in sync, leveling out into flight position, and off they went. When they dropped out of hyperspace several hours later, the ship was immediately flanked by two blue and white A-wings. Cal looked down at the world below them, the atmosphere all swirling blues and whites. It looked less war-torn than the images Cal had seen of its sibling planets of Concord Dawn and Mandalore. A ping on the ship's comms told them that they were being hailed, and Din reached over to open a channel. Tian Kuyi, identify yourself, a female voice commanded over the comms.
I'm here to see Bo-Katan, Din said.
There were a few minutes of silence while the A-wings orbited them menacingly. Then, unnamed Cormac-class transport, you are cleared to land on Platform B of the Wren Stronghold, Sector 9. Do not deviate from your flight path. The transmission ended with a click.
Very welcoming, Din muttered.
But Cal wasn't listening. As they drew closer, he'd begun to notice something tickling at the edge of his awareness. He reached out, but the more he pursued the feeling, the faster it shrunk away. When he relaxed, the presence intensified, like a Tuca creeping out from an alley, curious but not wanting to be seen.
Hmm. What is it?
Din glanced over his shoulder at him.
There's another Jedi down there, Cal said, this being the only explanation he could think of. I can sense them.
That's unexpected. Are they friendly?
I don't know, Cal admitted. It was odd. There were very few adult Jedi that Cal wouldn't be able to identify, so either this one had done an impressive job of staying under the radar, or they weren't a Jedi at all. These speculations did nothing to soothe the worry Cal was already steeping in.
They were escorted down to the surface, through mountainous valleys and above dark forests. Finally, they came to a large transparasteel and durasteel palace, nestled in among evergreen trees. Beautiful in a chilly, severe kind of way. It was positioned at the edge of a frozen lake, and there seemed to be a gathering of people on the shore, standing around in the snow. The ships landed on a platform connected to the side of the palace, waiting on the Duracrete were a group of several Mandalorians, including Bo-Katan. Most wore their helmets, though Bo-Katan and the tall, silver-haired woman in yellow and gray armor beside her did not. Din strode forward to greet them, but Cal followed more slowly, pulling his hood up against the cold and looking around for the person he'd sensed from the upper atmosphere. No luck.
What's he doing here?
Bo-Katan shot a glare at Cal as he approached. Her gaze flickered between the two of them. If both of you are here, where's the baby?
He's safe, Din said, his voice tinged with hostility. And Cal's only here to observe. I thought you were fine with Jedi anyway. You kept in touch with Tano.
Bo-Katan's scowl deepened. I have no opinion of the Order. Her tone suggested that she very much did have an opinion. Ahsoka Tano is an exception.
I'll do my best not to get in the way, Cal said, arranging his features to his most guileless smile. He was used to being met with suspicion, though he still appreciated Din's protective hand settling briefly on his shoulder.
In any case, Bo-Katan said, shifting her attention back to Din, thank you for coming. Allow me to introduce our host, Countess Ursa Wren. She's an old ally of mine. The woman in yellow and gray armor, the Countess, nodded curtly to them. Her gaze was cool, but not wholly unfriendly.
Join us in the stronghold, Bo-Katan continued. We have much to discuss, but I must insist that your associate remains outside.
Din and Cal exchanged a look, and Cal sensed the Mandalorian's hesitation.
It's fine. I'll be here if you need me, Cal said.
He wished he could meet Din's eyes directly. It was hard to tell if Din was reassured, just by staring into the dark visor. I'll behave, I promise. Cal's levity was rewarded with a slight puff of air through the Mandalorian's helmet, which he now knew to be an aborted laugh. When Din and the others had vanished into the imposing structure of the stronghold, Cal followed the sound of chatter off the landing platform and around to the front of the building, his boots sinking several inches into the powdery snow as he walked. There were more Mandalorians grouped on the shore of the lake than it had looked like from the sky. Cal stopped for a moment to take in the scene, a sea of shining, elaborately painted armor, talking and arguing over one another, a chaotic mashup of Basic and Mandoa. It wasn't just adults, either. Children were playing among them as well, some in full armor, some of the youngest still without. They tussled and threw snowballs at each other, weaving through the legs of the older Mandalorians, who stepped out of the way to make room for them without pausing in their conversations. Cal smiled, imagining Din as one of those foundlings, chasing his tribemate around the covert. He meandered around the edge of the gathering, scanning the crowd for the presence he could still sense. They were close, he could feel it. And the other Jedi, if they were a Jedi, knew it too. Some of the Mandalorians looked up at him suspiciously as he passed, a conspicuous outsider in his soft poncho among these hard-edged warriors. At least he'd had the good sense to make sure his lightsaber was concealed. Cal was squinting through the crowd at a figure that he thought might be wearing a Jedi's brown robe when something heavy and hard as a rock thumped on his shoulder, embedding his boots another inch deeper in the snow.
"Well, if it isn't nobody," rumbled a voice above his head.
Cal looked up to see the massive dark blue helmet of the Mandalorian that had confronted him on Navarro, outside the covert. It felt like a century ago, even though it had to have been less than a year. Cal realized he'd never thought to ask Din who he was. "It's Cal, actually."
"I thought it was Poncho."
"That works too," Cal sighed. He really wanted to know how many Mandalorians knew him as Poncho because of Din. Beside him, the blue Mandalorian laughed, a bark-like rattling sound. Then, to Cal's astonishment, he held out a massive hand for Cal to shake. It was sort of like shaking hands with the hull of a ship.
"Paz Vizsla,"
he said. "I thought you were planning on murdering me."
Vizsla shrugged. "He said it wasn't allowed."
Cal didn't ask who he was. "Very reassuring," Cal said, though his heart warmed at the knowledge that Din had defended him to his tribe mates at some point. "Does he know you're here?"
"Nah."
Vizsla started walking towards a group of Mandalorians with matching armor, standing at the very edge of the frozen lake, and gestured for Cal to follow.
"When the covert got blown, I went to the protectors. They're real into politics. Otherwise, I wouldn't have known about any of this."
He shook his head.
"I can't believe that Dekoot got the karking darksaber."
"He didn't mean to," Cal said defensively.
"That's even worse," Vizsla grumbled. "Always been like that, though."
Cal watched a pair of unarmored children slide around on the ice, laughing and colliding with each other. He had so many questions, but most of them should probably be saved for Din. But who knew when he'd ever be able to talk to someone who knew Din as well as Vizsla surely did. "Did you grow up together?"
"He's my Vodika. We trained together from the time he swore the creed until he started hunting on his own. Always been a recluse, but he used to have more of a temper than he's got now."
He paused and leveled his visor at Cal, scrutinizing him.
"And no, I don't know what he looks like."
Cal sputtered. "I wasn't going to ask that." Vizsla laughed again, loudly, and Cal blushed as a few members of Vizsla's cohort glanced over at them curiously.
But you were wondering."
It was true, though Cal wouldn't admit it. It seemed like a violation somehow, to wonder.
Vizsla's laughter trailed off gradually. Come on, Pancho. I'll introduce you to some people, and you can tell me what else my brother's been up to.
Bo-Katan talked Din's ear off about Mandalore's leadership and her clan's status, her words laced with thinly veiled threats and presumptions, so by the time they made their way out of the Wren stronghold and down the main steps to the frozen lake where the fight would take place, Din almost wanted to win the challenge out of spite. Almost. The crowd parted for them easily, and Din kept his gaze fixed forward, so he wouldn't have to see the many pairs of eyes and visors on them. There were more Mandalorians here to watch the fight than he'd ever seen in one place before. Didn't they have anything better to do? When they reached the front of the crowd and the frozen lake, he got a chance to glance around and see if he could spot Cal. He felt terrible leaving him to the mercy of the Mandalorians, but he trusted the Jedi could take care of himself. Din finally spotted him in the front row, towards the edge of the group, standing next to... Was that Paz? Cal waved at him, encouraging smile firmly in place, and Paz gave a sort of mock salute that might have incorporated a rude gesture. That was a mystery for later. He turned to face Bo-Katan. Instead of her twin pistols, she was wielding a curved, flat-bladed sword of pure Beskar, one of the few weapons that wouldn't be sliced to pieces by the Darksaber. Her helmet was in place, and the angular slits of her visor were fixed on him. As they squared off, waiting for the moderator's signal, Din's awareness of the crowd fell away. He grasped the now familiar hilt of the Darksaber and unhooked it from his belt. The blade whirred to life, a thin, mechanical sound like tuneless whistling through a vocoder. Several long seconds passed, and then the sound of a blaster echoed through the valley, and Bo-Katan lunged for him. He parried, but nearly lost his balance on the ice. It was an interesting trade-off. There were no obstacles fighting on the smooth expanse of frozen lake, but the ground was slippery, and he didn't know how thick the ice was. Bo-Katan swung at him again and again, and Din blocked her strikes, easily mirroring her pace. She was playing to his strengths without knowing it. Din's defense had always been better than his offense, and she didn't have Cal's speed to make up the difference. He didn't want to win this fight, but he didn't want to throw it either. He took a more aggressive stance and went to slash the Darksaber across Bo-Katan's middle, and her blade met his with a solid clanging sound of energy on Beskar. She tried to force the Darksaber down, but Din pressed back, testing his strength against hers. "I can tell you've been learning from that Jedi," Bo-Katan growled for only him to hear. "They've slaughtered thousands of us, you know." Din knew she was trying to rile him up, catch him off guard. He withdrew and reset his stance, waiting for her to strike again. "You've betrayed your honor by associating yourself with them," she hissed. Din ignored her, but his eye twitched involuntarily. She couldn't have picked anything else to jab at him about. "They're arrogant politicians. They don't care for their allies or the people they serve." Din could feel the irritation starting to bubble up. He knew what she was trying to do, and he wasn't going to let it happen. He was just going to stick it out until she managed to disarm him, and this would all be... Jedi are selfish traitors. Din struck out with the Darksaber, a vicious swipe, and Bo-Katan only barely deflected it. She responded with blows of her own, but Din was faster. In her effort to spur him to carelessness, all she'd done was convince him that he didn't want to lose to her. He blocked one last strike and grabbed her arm with his other hand and swept her feet out from under her. Bo-Katan fell back onto the ice and slid a few inches, and Din leveled the Darksaber under her chin, its edge a hair's width from her throat. She reached up and pulled off her helmet. "Just kill me," Bo-Katan said through gritted teeth, her tone more annoyed than defeated. She knew what Din's answer would be.
"I'm not doing that," Din replied with a sigh, lowering the blade. Really, he was as disappointed as she was.
Bo-Katan was slumped into the ice a little. Distantly, he heard the moderator announce the victor, and the voices of Mandalorians talking over one another. Din had faced his first challenger, and he was still stuck with the Darksaber.